on the air here on Friday morning, Over the Back Fence with Pastor Steve Whitaker. So glad to have him back in the studio here. And, you know, we were just having a great conversation off the air, which really we can have on the air on this program, about eating habits. And now tomorrow, let it go for Pancake Day, because it's Pancake Day, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Tri-Rivers Career Center, $7 for adults, kids 4 and under eat free. But we were just talking about the meat prices and where they have been, how hard it is to eat healthy, but we were talking about our love of salads and the many ways you can cook those.
Yeah, there are many ways. Hi, I am Pastor Steve Whitaker from Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. You know, I think that with salads, I mean, I was just telling Scott that I have started eating salads. I had off and on before, but my preferred way to eat a salad now is with absolutely no dressing. And because of the things that you put in it, you know, between carrots and celery and lettuce and maybe some, I don't know, what kind of seeds do we like to put in? Sunflower seeds, maybe.
That's not bad.
Maybe some other proteins, good proteins, cheeses and things. You get those flavors and you actually taste them. I've seen people take a salad and they'll dump about a quart of ranch dressing on it. I think, how do you taste anything but the ranch dressing? You know what I mean? But anyway, a lot of ways to eat it, a lot of different ways.
You know, I did hear, though, that ranch dressing, and not that people should pile it up on there, of the dressings is the healthiest because it has the least amount of sugar, which I think is probably right.
Yeah, I think so. Now, a vinaigrette doesn't, though.
No, that's not bad at all. And what is it people used to do, just the old salad dressing?
Oh, my mother.
Yeah.
The same thing. She mixed mayonnaise and vinegar and sugar.
That's it.
And that was her salad dressing, and she didn't buy it at the store.
Now, you know, I told that to somebody one time, and they just gooped it on there like you would do regular dressing. That's not what people did. You stirred it in.
You stirred it completely.
Yeah, to where you really couldn't even see it. Barely on the lettuce.
And I think Mom would like to put it in ahead of time and then refrigerate it and let it kind of permeate everything there. And I'll be honest with you, it made things kind of soggy, and I didn't really like salad as a kid because of that.
Yeah, you know, it was an acquired taste. I think that's something, I don't know if that came from the Depression or where that came from.
Well, it came because I think people had to, they had large families, and they just had to make do with what they had, and it was a simple thing to do. You know, basically it took, for a family, it would take a good big tablespoon of mayonnaise, maybe a couple capfuls of white vinegar, and a little bit of spoon of sugar. And, you know, that was relatively cheap for them, and you didn't have to go out and buy something special. You know, it's funny too, Scott, when you used to look in your parents' cupboard when I was growing up as a kid, there were not near the things that are now, because so many things you made with flour was a huge thing, sugar was a huge thing, all those things that you made things with. I always remember the great big can of Crisco in there. And when we'd have a hog butcher or something, there'd be lard in there. And I know a lady today, honestly, that she's a wonderful, wonderful cook, and she bakes just wonderfully baked goods. And she buys, whenever the family has hogs butchered, she has lard made. She gets rendered lard, and that's what she cooks with. And, you know, I wonder sometimes, I know they talk about how bad this stuff is for you, but I'll tell you what, I think that the most important thing that we can do is a consistent diet, not necessarily what it is. I think our body adjusts to so much if we do the same thing consistently, but it's when we change it up all the time and keep throwing our body curveballs.
Well, I think moderation, anything in moderation is going to be okay. Even if, I mean, if you are really just dying to go have a hamburger and french fries, as long as you're not doing that every week, you're going to be okay.
I think so. The problem is most people today are doing it every day.
Maybe every day. You're exactly right. Now, I do want to remind people, because of the Kiwanis Pancake Day being tomorrow, that Trish came in and got her tickets, a complimentary ticket. She won one of our contest this past week, but we do have your tickets today until 1 o'clock here. You can pick them up till 1 o'clock. I believe John and Sarah and Mary and Jean are the recipients of these tickets. Now, say all that to say this, and you have to get those before 1 o'clock today here at the station. We do have a couple more tickets that we are going to give away this morning, and here's how we're going to do it. Throughout the morning, people love Marian History, Pastor. My goodness, we've learned so much on this station, but we've done it in a family feud way. So throughout this show, or any other show this morning, here's the question that I have for you, listening audience. And we're at the studio, so the phone number is 740-383-9944. Now, again, this is just my opinion. We didn't go out and take a survey. But who are the five most well-known people associated with Marion, Ohio? Five most well-known people associated with Marion, Ohio since the beginning. Now, that's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz, and we will put you in the drawing. Five, and they're all names. They're all, you know, it's not a group. It's people. The five biggest names associated, most well-known names associated with Marion, Ohio. 740-383-9944.
I mean, three of those are going to come in quick.
I would think that the first three would come in pretty quick. Now, the other two, I don't know. Now, this was all opinion-based as I was writing this up last night. But if you drive around Marion, you certainly can run into some of these people. And I guess the first call's coming right here. Let's see what we got. Go ahead, caller.
I didn't know if you could call in now. President Harding.
Of course, President Harding. Yep, you can call in now. President Harding is on the list. We got you in the competition. Thanks, Judy.
Who won yesterday? I couldn't listen. I was away.
Yesterday's winner was Mary, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Thanks, Judy. All right. Well, yeah, that was one that you just had to go with right off the top. President Harding. Five most associated people with Marion, Ohio. 740-383-9944. You know, we've had this conversation before. I think when people are having a conversation, people are a little timid to call in.
Oh, possibly. Possibly.
Yeah.
Yeah, just butt right in. You're fine. Yeah. Hey, one thing I do want to announce, we're talking about the Pancake Day. Also, tomorrow evening at our church, Community Christian Fellowship at 209 East Water Street in Prospect, starting tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock, we are having what is a wild game dinner. And people that come are willing and able to bring, if they're willing and able to bring anything that they may have from hunting or fishing or whatever it may be, it'll be a great time. There'll be door prizes and just a really good time. And if somebody wants to come out to that, bring your young boys. You know, we're trying to let boys be boys and raise boys to be boys. And so please bring them and enjoy that time.
Go ahead, caller.
Mary Ellen.
Mary Ellen Withrow, absolutely on the list. Gotcha. Thanks.
Okay.
You know, the great thing about caller ID is I can get the names of the people who are calling, and they don't have to give their name over the air if they don't want to.
That's a good idea. That's great. That's fantastic.
Yeah, every so often we'll get an unknown number that pops up, but for the most part, we're okay. Mary Ellen Withrow, President Warren G. Harding, three more names, well-known people in or from Marion, Ohio. All right, people been thinking. Now it's coming to their mind now that they've been thinking for a while. Go ahead, caller.
I'm going to say Charlie Evers.
You know, Charlie should be on the list. I didn't put Charlie on the list, but he's number six if he's not in the top five.
Oh, Scott.
I know.
Okay.
I know. Thank you. Bye-bye. Yeah. You know, it's hard to come up with the top five. Now, Pastor, tell us about this event tomorrow night. In general, what goes on?
Typically what goes on, people come in and they get a they'll get a number for the door prizes, and then we have a drawing for some bigger things, bigger prizes, that is a separate drawing. This is a no-cost event, which is that's always wonderful. And, you know, we do have some really good things coming. One lady, a matter of fact, she's a Marion police officer that actually went down south a month or so ago and shot an alligator, and she's going to be bringing in some alligator bites.
Hey,
so
that's a great event.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead, caller.
Charlie Evers.
Not Charlie. Boy, I tell you, I should have put Charlie on the list.
Oh, my goodness. You put Charlie on the list?
Well, I'm sorry. Not in the top five, but he's got to be number six.
Okay.
How's the bus this morning?
It's kind of dreary today, but, you know.
How are the roads?
Not too bad.
All right. All right. Thanks. Boy, I should have put Charlie on this list, Pastor.
Yes, you should have put Charlie on.
I've made an error.
You've made an error. You're going to have to pay for this one for a while.
I'm going to have to.
You should have just changed your list.
I should have. Yeah, I should have. When it came in twice, I should have. Oh, I've made a mistake here.
Oh, that was the. Yeah, I forgot there were five, not four.
It might be six on this list. Go ahead, caller.
I'm going to say that Eber Baker.
Eber? Well, of course, the founder of Marion is on the list. Eber Baker. We got you. Thanks. people want those pancake tickets. It's a big, big event. So we got Eber Baker, Mary Ellen Withrow, Warren Harding, two left to go. And we'll be doing this all morning, so stay tuned to the station here.
Last year we had a guy that brought in, he made tacos in a pouch, and the taco meat was kangaroo, and he called them Joey's in a pouch.
Hey, that's not bad. That's not bad. I like it. Go ahead, caller.
Mayor Schertzer?
Not Mayor Schertzer, but a good guess.
What about Carrie Phillips?
Ooh, Carrie Phillips. Well, I don't think President Harding would like her on the same list with him, but that's a good guess. Thank you. Not Carrie Phillips. You know, boy, what a person to put on that list.
Hey, I wanted to, something I want to talk about a little bit about this morning. Well, I'm sure we'll have some time to sneak it in through everything
else. Okay. Well, two more and we'll be done with this list. If you ever wonder if people are listening, here you go. Go ahead, caller. Go ahead.
Florence Harding.
Now, that's a much better name to put on the list than Carrie Phillips, the man's. So we're down to one.
I thought Florence would be one of them. I was just waiting patiently.
You know, isn't it interesting that she does slip people's mind. Former First Lady, we go with Warren pretty easily, but Florence slips people's mind. Now, I think the last one might be hard for people to come by, but we got Eber Baker, Mary Ellen Withrow, Florence Harding, Warren Harding. Go ahead, caller.
Let's try George Kasotis.
Not George Kasotis. Good guess. We might have a lull here now, Pastor. Because
we'll have a lull.
We'll have a lull, because last one's a little hard.
Last one's a little hard. You know, one thing I want to talk about is, you know, we're coming into election season, and it's, you know, unfortunately, we got 2 years till we have a presidential election, but it is election season, whether we like it or not. And we have all the negativity that's out there. You know, it's bad enough that we had the all the election coverage that we will, and a lot of the negativity with that. But now we've been bombarded by the sports betting thing, and they're just constant, and they're everywhere. And it's kind of like at some point, you know, as you think, if I were another advertiser on TV, I would start to complain about, you know what, I don't know if this is the best venue to advertise, because people are tuning us out. For that reason, a lot of people are going, just like they do for this show, a lot of people are going to the web for everything they do, because they're, you know, network TV is just driving them nuts.
Well, what did I hear the other day? The amount of money that so far has been raised on sports betting in Ohio, it's an astronomical number.
Really
just
is.
Since the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just in the beginning of March here, 2 months of that.
And you know, the money that's spent on I don't understand. We live in a society where people are sometimes, compared to others, have far, far more money. And it's people struggle, and they go through difficult times. But yet you see the money being spent on elections. Somehow yesterday I got a magazine in the mail from GQ magazine, and I don't know how, I never ordered GQ magazine, and I hadn't looked at it in 25 years, and I looked at it and thought I'll never look at another issue. But anyway, they have all the clothes these guys are wearing and what they cost. See, a $2,700 hoodie, a $12,000 pair of basketball shorts, and I'm thinking, what extravagance! Why are we promoting that kind of thing? Why don't people say, you know what, let's just come back to earth? You ever wonder that?
Well, I always think, what, especially when it comes to clothes, what do clothes that cost more? How does anybody know how much your clothes cost anyway?
They don't.
No, so I always wonder, wow, I paid $150 for this pair of shorts. Who knows? When I go out to the grocery store, when I go out to the department store, who knows how much I paid for those shorts? Nobody.
I think they tell people.
Now, here's the thing I always wonder when it comes to kids, because I understand that kids are very, you know, all kids have that thing where they, you know, want certain things and want to be dressed in a certain way. But if your parents pay for it, now, you didn't pay for anything, so what does that show? You've got a $150 pair of shorts on that you didn't pay for?
I remember years ago when the tennis shoe craze first started. I was probably 20 at the time. Because you remember, Scott, before that, everything was just the same brand of tennis shoes. You either had the cheap ones from Kmart, we call them B&E Flyers, they cost about $4, or you had Converse, which cost about $8 or $9. Those are the only two things you were going to wear. But then all of a sudden this basketball craze came out, you know, had the Jordans and all that stuff. And I'd see these parents going out and buying these shoes for kids that didn't take out the trash, kids that didn't listen to their parents, kids that were getting horrible grades. And I thought, what are you doing? You're rewarding a kid with a $5 attitude with a $100 pair of tennis shoes. And you know, I thought that would be short-lived, but boy, was I wrong.
Well, no, it continues on to this day, and, you know, I think about homecomings. Is it prom that's coming up here in the...
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's homecoming's in the fall, and prom is in the spring.
Yes.
And the money that will be spent on these dresses is unbelievable. But I always wonder, because there are some people who do go to thrift shops or who know somebody who get a dress for, you know, really, maybe even under $50.
I think that all of my grandkids have gone that route.
Yeah. But who knows?
And nobody knew the difference.
Exactly. That's it. Who knows
nobody
how much you paid for
the difference.
It's not like you wear a price tag into the prom venue.
You know, when I was younger, I lived just outside of Upper Arlington in Columbus, and I used to go to the thrift store at First Community Church. They're off Fifth Avenue, right there in Marble Cliff. And you go downstairs, and I mean, the clothes down there were extremely expensive men's clothes, and I'd walk out of there with a suit jacket for $3.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, you know, what's wrong with that?
Yeah, what is wrong with that?
I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
I mean, who are people really judging this? Because in your mind, I guess you must think that people are judging what you're wearing, but are they really? Maybe one or two people along the line might say something to you, but is by and large the whole, do they care?
I think that in our mind, there's an image that goes out that we've got to project in so many areas. Unfortunately, it infiltrates the church, too, that we think people need that they really don't. I'll give you a good example of a false thing that really got ran away with. There's a movie out right now, and by the way, it's getting great reviews. It's a wonderful movie. It's called The Jesus Revolution. Have you heard of that or seen it?
I haven't.
It is a movie about the early Jesus movement with the what we called hippies and all the people that are involved in that Jesus movement. Well, when that came about, there were several groups of people. A lot of it came out of the revival at Asbury College back in 1970. And what happened was all these people really started surrendering and pouring their hearts out to God and realizing that that's what they truly needed. Well, they started taking Bible passages mostly, and at the time they all played folk guitars, and they put them to folk music. And it was a different music than hymns, obviously, we'd heard. But these venues and these groups started growing and growing and growing and growing. Well, they were doing that from a pureness of heart and something they wanted to do as far as worship. Take these passages and do that. Well, the large organized church got a look at that and said, what are we doing? You know, we need to attract all these young people. You know, what are we going to do? They're going to leave our churches or go into these things. What are we going to do? Well, look. It's that music. Let's adopt the music. So what they did was they started, that was the birth of contemporary Christian music. Well, here's the problem with that whole picture. The problem was what the Jesus freaks were doing was authentic, and what they were doing was contrived to get a response. You see the difference? One was done from a pure heart out of worship and love, and the other was done contrived to try to bring a certain response from people, and it has never slowed down. And the truth of the matter is that all that is short-lived. When the music fades away, and there's a song that was written called that, when the music fades away, what's left? You know, you can go to, I see people go to church and they get all jacked up on this great music that is written, designed, and it is put together in a way to elicit certain responses from you mentally and trigger certain things in you. That's how it's written and that's what it's done. Hillsong music has been doing that masterfully for years now. Well, that's great. You get those responses in church and everything seems so authentic, and then you leave the venue and you see these people out in the world and you think, can't believe they ever even go to church. You see what I mean? It's a contrived thing. And I think that what we have to understand is that being real is what's important. You don't have to have everything. You don't have to have the Michael Jordan shoes to be a cool kid. You know, you don't have to have the Michael Jordan shoes to be a good basketball player. But we put these things out there, and they're perceived. And now churches say, we've got to have a good rock band, or we're not going to have any people. Our church would be a complete argument to that point. Now, I will say we do some contemporary Christian music, too. But what I'm saying is that we do not go out of our way to tickle ears. And because of being authentic in who we are, in Bible teaching and Bible believing, our church is growing when a lot of other churches are not.
You know, the music in a church is fascinating to me. And I think I've told you this story before, but it bears repeating for anybody who's listening who may not have been listening before. I had a friend who went and got baptized at a church. I don't think he'd ever been baptized before. Now, he was probably in his late 20s at this time. And I never really asked him why he picked that particular church. His family really didn't go there, so it wasn't a family thing. He might have had some friends who went there. And one day we were talking about it, I'll tell you what had happened was, he had ended up going to another church with, I think, maybe his family. And he was telling me he didn't enjoy it as much as his regular church. And I said, well, what's the big difference? I didn't like the music. And that was it. I did not like the music. And I said, well, what was the message? What was the sermon this morning? Had no idea. Had no idea. But he knew he did not like the music. And that's what he was basing his choice of church on.
And to me, that's a sad state of affairs. It really is. Because it's about the message. And sometimes even in the music, what the message is. And I remember one time I had a couple that came to church, and they were coming, and they loved our church. They were doing great, and they'd been there a short period of time, and they left to go with some of their older kids that were going to a very large venue somewhere locally, and they came back the next Sunday, and he said, I was just at the best service I've ever had. And I thought, well, thank you. It was there. It wasn't at our church. But I thought, that's fine. Well, tell me about it. He goes, that's the same music that I grew up on. That's the same hard rock that I grew up on. And he goes, I just loved it. Wait a minute. I thought you went to church. Did you go to a concert, or did you go to church? If you go to church, you're there to humble yourself, to hear the Word of God, to hear what God says, to enrich your life, and to grow from that. Not that music isn't a wonderful part. God certainly ordained music, but he didn't ordain a genre of music. You know what I mean? And it needs to come from the heart. One thing about this movie, it's called The Jesus Revolution, is that if you want a true picture or a close to accurate picture of what the Jesus freak movement was back in the day, the truth of it, great movie to watch, because it shows what it really was, not what history, the media, and Hollywood has portrayed it to be, and which a lot of things happen that way.
Yeah, well, it's very, very true, and I think that as we look back on it, I don't know. I just don't know. When the younger people, let me put it this way, how much effort and how much time do you think is spent by the pastors, whoever, ministers, running these churches on the music? When they're getting ready for church on Sunday, they deliver a sermon, but how much time are they putting into the music?
Well, I think in most cases today, it can be more time than they're putting into the message, because they have a separate worship team, and they practice very heavily, and they do a lot of things. I think not in our church, of course, that's not the case. Our music's fine, and you know, our goal to be in our church is to have congregational music that is easier for everyone to sing together and to worship God through that music. It's not a major, you know, some of the churches you go in today, and even right in Marion, you're going to get the lights turned down, you're going to get a light show up front, and it's going to be all about getting impulses to your, to elicit certain responses from you. And I think that's contrived Wouldn't you think that would almost feel that way?
Well, I think it is, and I've also noticed on Facebook that a lot of people... See, here, and this is just not from being in the media, but listen, since the beginning of time, broadcasting, there have been church services on radio. There have been programs like this on radio, the old Pastor Spot program on radio, and the reason is there are people who can't get to church.
Right.
And that's important that they hear that sort of thing. But when I go to social media and I see somebody put a post up that's only to their friends and it's just them, it's just, you know, I'm confused on why they're doing that. I don't know if that's to put the attention on them.
Do you mean like just a spot?
Yeah, yeah, just like maybe 5 minutes of something.
Rhett Crabtree's been doing that.
He's been doing it, and he does them very well.
Yeah.
Very, you know, he does...
I'll tell you why, and I do the same thing sometimes. I may do one today, so yeah. You can scold me for that. No, anyway, let me explain why I do that. It's usually because I have something particular maybe I want to get across. I'm sure that's the case with him, too. But it's not just for your friends. It is for your friends. I think that... the Bible tells us as Christians not to forsake the assembling together of ourselves at every opportunity we can. Well, we've been blessed with this wonderful thing these days in a lot of ways called social media. And social media lets us to assemble together without being together. I get a lot of people that will never hear a church service that we have, will never be in our church, get encouraged by those things. And matter of fact, most of the comments that I get on those things come from people that do not go to our church. So it's just another avenue of outreach. It isn't, you can put a mask on my face if you want. You know, I've got something to say. It doesn't matter that it's coming from me, in my position. I'm not trying to bolster myself. Matter of fact, sometimes when I replay it, I'm embarrassed by the way I look or sound. Not really embarrassed, but, you know, kind of like, you know, that could have been delivered better. And it's not about me. I don't want it about me, but I still want to get the message out. So that is why that is being done. If there's a particular issue, say that today, and there's something going on in our culture that really blindsided everyone. And a lot of people are questioning. They're saying, oh, how should my response be to that? As a Christian, what should my response be? You know, I'm not sure where to go with this. Then I feel as a pastor and as a shepherd, it is my place to get on there and say, this is how I feel the response from us would be and should be, and give you something to think about. Now, what I always encourage people to do, too, is to stay in the Bible, to study the Word, and make sure that I'm not saying something that is full of error. You see what I mean? I want people to call me on the carpet if I mess up. That's important, too.
Well, I tell you, I didn't see it so much as an ego thing. What I saw it as, and I guess I saw it as... I guess maybe I need to pay attention more to them and what's being said and listen to them longer. But I when you do something on social media, if I do something on social media, it's only seen by my friends. And maybe you're right. Maybe those are people who would never come to church.
Good point. But see, here's the... I'll kind of give you a little bit of a difference between when I go on there and do something and kind of like, I'm picking on you, Rhett, if you're out there, we're friends. But what Rhett does, Rhett usually will talk about doctrinal positions within his denomination. And he'll talk very specifically about those. And he'll give you why his are right and why the others are dead wrong.
Well, that's what it, yeah.
And in that case, you may just be preaching to the choir. You know what I'm saying? But in... and you're going to get a lot of that. I don't know how many people you're going to convince, because especially if you come across from a point of view of I'm smart and you're stupid, and that we got to be careful about that. But what I typically try to do is I don't talk too much about doctrinal positions, even though I have very firm doctrinal positions. Usually I talk about what the Word of God says and what it says and how we should look at things in a holistic way. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
In more of a holistic way. I'm not going to get on there and tell you why people that practice infant baptism are stupid and should never do that, and people that baptize by immersion are the only way to do it. And I'm not going to do vice versa, why infant baptism is the only way God ordained, and what you people are doing. If you baptize any other way, you're just being ignorant and stupid. I'm not going to win many people that way.
Well, I guess that's what I'm seeing. And I guess that is... And it also looks like a production. It looks like it's a...
Did you ever see my office? It's not a production.
No, no. But I mean, don't you've seen some of these?
Yeah,
they look like they're stage productions.
Oh, absolutely.
They look, and you can almost see sometimes them reading. They're reading off of the computer screen. So they've thought about this.
I have to look a little further.
Yeah,
I wing everything, as you can probably tell, folks. Sunday morning, I'll be honest with you, I can't even. I study my lesson. I know my lesson, but I really count on God to prompt me a lot in what I'm doing and to bring things to my mind, memory wise. But I have never been able to operate from a script. I get ahead of it or behind it, and I lose my place, and it comes across very fumbled. I am very much a pastor on the spot. If I'm going to give a message, I better know what I'm talking about. I better know where I'm at with that. And I trust God to kind of lead and direct me as I talk. And I know a friend of mine, rest his soul, he's gone now, but he would type out his sermon on about 6 pages, and then he would rehearse it over and over and over again in front of a mirror, and with voice inflections. I'm thinking, wait, where's the spontaneity in that? Where is the spot? You know, that's just so contrived. I've heard the guys do the same thing in prayer. You know, they'll say a prayer like they're doing in a play for Julius Caesar, and it's like, you know, the Bible even tells us not to do that. You know, it's supposed to be from the heart and real. It's not be so some contrived thing that sounds, you know, like it is. But people have a tendency to want to do that. I think a lot of people want to be actors. I don't know.
Well, that's, I guess, what I was getting at. And it certainly is not, I don't even think it's the majority of people.
If I'm an actor, I'm a bad one.
Well, and I'm not even saying generally this is all people. You can tell when somebody's getting, because I've done those Facebook Lives, but I'm sitting in a room. It certainly is not always the most well-lit room in the world. You can see pictures on the wall. You can see sometimes things laying in chairs. It's not done to be a production. And I've never sat down and thought, okay, I'm going to say this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this. But I get the impression with a lot of these things that that's what they are. And maybe it's not a bad thing, but I guess what is the purpose? What are we going for with that?
You're going for a production.
Yeah.
That people like. And, you know, there's some people that... And I'll argue with them. There's some people that are fantastic in business, and they've really studied deeply, you know, media, and they'll tell you, you know, you've got to look professional, you've got to do this. Well, you know, don't look like a sloppy pig. I'm there with you, but I don't think that you have to look like Walter Cronkite to talk about what's going on in current events.
No, and that's also where this was coming from. Probably the main people who do this now are politicians. And you will see them walking, and they'll have their phone on them. They're talking at the same time. And I keep thinking, now, this is only going out to your friends list.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, I might be on your friends list. But how many people are watching that? And number two, don't you already, by and large, have those people convinced of what you're trying to do here? Because any other time, you don't see them doing that.
I usually try to speak to people that I don't have convinced. I'm trying to help them through something. You know, it's kind of interesting. I had a guest coming in one time to speak at an event at the church, and they said, "What should I wear?" And I said, "I don't really care what you wear." I said, "Just, you know, I don't want you naked, and I want you to look clean. So whatever." And they said, they were a pastor, and they wore a collar on Sunday sometimes. Most of the time, I think, at the church they were at. And they said, "Well, I'm going to wear my collar." And I said, "Okay, if that's what you want to do." And they said, "Well, I think it'll give more authority to the word that I'm giving." And I said, "What? Your authority shouldn't be coming from a collar. Your authority should be coming from God and then putting you in a place to speak. Your authority should be coming about from the Word of God and what you're saying, not because, oh, they're going to respect me because I have a collar on." And I'm like, you know, to me, that's just, once again, it's window dressing.
Well, see, I think you got to have gravitas. You know, they used to say that about news people. I think that's still somewhat the case. A pastor certainly would have to have that. If you're going to be somebody in the military who's a leader, I think you've got to have that. You've got to have that thing, and I don't know where you get it. It takes work, but you've got to talk from that perspective of, you should believe me, but I don't have to tell you to believe me. It's not smoke and mirrors.
I look believable.
Because I look believable.
Well, I'll tell you what. So some of the things have been going on in some of those huge denominations lately. I don't know that I'd be wanting to wear a collar.
No. I think, some of those places you probably wouldn't want to go.
And folks, there's got some great people out there wearing a collar. I don't mean to. But, you know, at the same time, I guess if you're going to talk about being a cowboy, you should be wearing a hat.
I guess.
I guess. You shouldn't be wearing Nikes and a ball cap turned backwards if you're going to be talking about bronc busting, right?
Yeah.
Or if you're going to be talking about cooking, I guess you wear a big white
chef's hat. That way they know right off what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a whole fascinating thing, social media, to me, because I certainly use it, but I am always of the mind that the people that I'm reaching on social media have friended me. Now, do they all agree with me? Probably not.
Mm. A lot of people unfriend me after my social media.
Well, there you go. That's how it all works out. But I always think this is for people who maybe want to know what's going on with me, or maybe want to catch something that they didn't catch. That's how I think of it.
You're looking at that from a personal perspective. And there's a lot of people that look at social media totally from a personal perspective with themselves personally. Here's kind of a difference between you and me. Because I'm a pastor 24/7. That's who I am. That's who God has called me to be, and so they overlap so heavily that, and I have such a burden to be a shepherd to people that need it, that I'm going to do almost all of my social media stuff involves being a pastor. I don't get on there and just every now and then I'll share some funny stuff that I just think's cute. My son and I like to share back and forth stuff about drag cars and stuff. It's just a family interest, and I'll share some cute funny stuff. But most of the time, if I'm doing a short podcast or whatever, it's going to involve ministry, and that's what I do. And that is strictly done. Understand, that is not just done. Say, hey, look, I'm Pastor Steve over here. Look at me, I'm a pastor. No, that is done for the purpose of ministry and reaching people, particular groups or non-groups. I have a site called Good Clean Lighthearted News and Information, which is mine, and I do that, and I post a lot of different things there. A lot of things that I put on there are certainly spiritual things, but there's a lot of just everyday stuff that's kind of neat knowledge and things to know. And that site, I try to reach more people that are that middle of the road. Maybe they're not real involved in the church, but they like good, clean, lighthearted. I'm not going to get on there, and I'm not going to slam politicians. I'm not going to get on there and throw some controversial conspiracy thing out there. It's going to be good, clean, lighthearted news information.
Well, and that's it. I guess that's what I am seeing a lot of, is the, it's not even so much of an opinion, it's guised in, this is the way it is, from all people. And I don't know if that is always the best thing. I mean, people can do what they want, but I don't know. It's sometimes, to me, I just wonder, and I look at that, you know, it's the same way I look at when you post a picture of yourself every day. Those people who take a new picture of themselves
every day.
I know how you look.
I got some family that does that. It's crazy. It's like, man, Scott, there's no way that's not vanity. It's either vanity or low self-esteem or a combination of the two.
That's it. What is that? See, I ask the same question about that. I look at that and I go, now, why?
Yeah, I had a friend that she used to do that. She was always trying to get a response from people to tell her that she was pretty or how good she was looking, or if they liked her, if you're really my friend, say this or that. Are you kidding me? That's definitely some low self-esteem, I would think.
Well, it is, and I would think that if you put a picture on the internet every single day, maybe there's something in your life that is a little lacking, unfortunately. How do you fix it, though? Now, see, here's the... When we talk about the problem, we identify the problems,
yeah.
But how do we fix those problems?
I think we just have to understand that we all have intrinsic value, and that we have to realize what ours are. See, we've become too much of a culture where everybody wants to look like everyone else, and I don't think that we should. I think that we are who we are. We are who God made us to be, and I love that diversity in people, that we are different. You know, if you're a down-to-earth, nature-loving, rough on the edges person, great for you. I'm going to enjoy you. If you're a person that, one of my best friends is spent his most of his adult life as a curator for the Naval Museum in Washington, D.C. And he is a very interesting man. He is extremely brilliant. He does some beautiful, he still does line drawings for of battleships and all kinds of stuff. He's retired now and writes books. But you know what? He is one of my favorite people to be around. But yet on the other side, you know, I don't mind sitting down enjoying... help me out, our wrestler that comes on.
Oh, Thunderbolt Patterson.
Thunderbolt Patterson. Now, yeah. If those aren't two ends of the spectrum, nothing is. But at the same time, I enjoy them both. And what's wrong with that? And I think that people sometimes when they go on social media, they're trying to look what the world says is a norm. I don't understand. There's some things I really don't understand on social media. One, people taking pictures with their tongue out. Now that one just grosses me out. Right off the gate.
Yeah, I don't want to see that.
I don't want to see people's tongues.
No.
What are you doing?
Is it a fad?
I think it is. Or the kissy lips. I don't understand that one either. You know,
they do that, don't they?
What are you doing? Are you trying?
They call that something? Is it duck face?
Duck lips.
Duck lips or something like that.
Yeah. Why are you doing that in every picture? And it's just like. And the other thing is, people will do is they'll use these filters that try and make them look like you know, they're trying to look like Betty Rubble, look like Raquel Welch.
You know, I hate to say this. The other day, I'm glad you brought that up because there was somebody who contacted me. They'd heard an interview I'd done on the station. I won't say which interview, but they had a problem with the very end of the interview. So I had no idea who this person was, contacted me and said, you know, I wasn't very happy with that. Could I come on and talk a little bit about that? And I'm always open to that. I said, sure, come on. And she wanted to meet me because I had no idea who this person was. She wanted to meet me beforehand. And so I looked at her picture on the internet real quick because that's how she contacted me. And she had pictures that looked totally different because they'd been run through filters and they'd been run. I thought I wouldn't recognize this person if I met him in the store.
Folks, I want to promise you something. When you meet me face to face, I will give you a heads up. I'm not very tall. I'm not built the best. I may be goofy looking, but I'm me.
Yeah, well, that's right. You don't.
Mary Ellen just walked. Mary Ellen Withrow, how are you today?
Oh, I'm just fine.
By the way, you look very nice today.
Oh, thank you.
And she has no filters.
No filters on today. No filters on today.
I could use a filter.
I can use a brain filter. I don't know about a face filter. But.
Hey, I'll tell you, speaking of Mary Ellen, and she's going to be with us from 10:15 to noon today, and we're going to have a lot of fun. But Mary Ellen was on our list here this morning. We still don't have the final answer. We're giving away pancake tickets this morning. Five most well-known people from Marion, Ohio. Now, You were one.
Oh,
well, no doubt about it.
Uh-huh.
The five are... we got four of the five. We've got Eber Baker, we've got Mary Ellen Withrow, we've got Warren G. Harding, and we've got Florence Harding. We're missing one. Who is the person that we're missing? Now, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. So far, Judy and Trish are in on the competition, and we're going to give these pancake tickets away. I'll be on through 1 o'clock this afternoon. But they are here and available. Who is that fifth person? 740-383-9944. It's going to be a hard one. I don't know if they'll get it.
I got a quick question for you, Mary Ellen.
What?
Here comes the guess. And we'll go to the question here in just a second. Okay. Let me get the guess in. Go ahead, caller.
I tried to call a couple times, but kept hanging up. What about Larry Barnett?
Oh, not Larry Barnett. That's a good one.
That is a good
one. Not Larry Barnett. Good guess.
Good man, too. Madam Secretary.
Treasurer.
Secretary Treasurer.
There you go.
I'm sorry. See, I told you my mind wasn't working this morning. Madam Treasurer.
Yeah.
You know, I had Madam Treasurer on my mind, and you know, it's been a morning. But anyway, how many bills, I'm talking about people pulling one out of their wallet and saying, would you sign this? Would you guess you've signed over the years?
Oh, my. But, you know, I'd say to a clerk sometimes, I'd say, that's my name. They'd say, sure.
Well, one of these days, I'm going to find a bill from your era. Uh-huh. Which there's still plenty.
Oh, they're still out there.
There's 20s, there's 50s, more 50s than anything.
I'm going to find one, and I'm going to ask you to sign it for me so I can have it in my office. But I hope that won't be too intrusive.
No.
But
I sign a lot.
You know, so many people that are in your position and others like it, you never hear from them again when they leave office. But you have been such a staple here in Marion, and you've always helped and been out there. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
And being a active in Elgin school system as I am, I appreciate your work on the school board there years ago too. Are they still having senior day? Have they had it in a couple years? You were always at it.
I know, but I haven't gotten an invitation, and I think they slipped up with Primrose. That's how we get it through Primrose.
Okay.
And I don't think we got our invitation.
Well, I'm going to talk to them and see if we're going to have one this year.
Yeah.
Make sure that Primrose gets those.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because there's several people from Elgin at Primrose.
And I really enjoy seeing the young people serving the tables. That the FFA does that. They do a wonderful job.
Yeah.
Good to see you this morning.
Yes.
Yeah. Mary Ellen's going to be coming up next, Pastor Whitaker. So glad you're back in studio with us, and you'll be back here next week, and we'll ruminate on whatever is going on
The day. And God bless you all.
And you can catch this show, remember, it repeats on Wednesday and Thursday, 3:15 to 4 p.m., so don't miss it. And Sunday morning, 8:15 to 9 a.m., or you can get it on the website via your request, wwgh1071.com. Back with Mary Ellen in about 15 minutes.
You know, you might have made a good
Let's go to Wrigley, because you know that city also is waiting for a World Series.
Yes, they is, you know, but I believe in the city. I believe in the tribe. It's going. I mean, the president is taking 300 of the employees over to Wrigley Field, and I believe